Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I am your host, Mark Roberti, CEO and founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you three new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Now, if you are looking for a big breakthrough for your business, but you just want someone to guide you along that path, you may consider scheduling a free strategy call with me. And that is over at markgaberti.com/strategy for anyone who is interested. Another big thing you could do to achieve a breakthrough in your business is to master online advertising. It is one of the best ways to scale. It is one of the best ways to get new customers. Basically, every single main thing you want for a business, online advertising is one of the best ways to get that once you have the system down. So, there's been a lot of talk about Facebook ads, which are certainly great, but we're actually going to talk about Google ads in this episode. And we actually have a really great guest who specializes in this. He is the founder and CEO of websavvy.com.au. It's a Google award-winning agency based in Australia that manages over $100 million in ad spend. This internationally recognized speaker has spoken at places like Traffic and Conversion Summit, Synergy Digital Forum Moscow, Baby Bathwater, and more. So he's got a big list of speaking events that he has spoken at. And his most recent book, The Ultimate Guide to Google AdWords, is a bestseller with over 100,000 copies sold. Today's guest for episode 348 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Mike Rhodes. Mike, welcome to the show.
Oh, I just got to up the energy here, Mark. That was welcome. Awesome.
Mike, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show, and you are very accomplished when it comes to Google Ads. I mean, $100 million, I mean, that's people trusting you with their money and you getting the results, because the only reason people would continue to invest is if they see it's profitable. So I'm sure a lot of people want to figure out how they can make a profit from Google Ads. For anyone wondering, it was called AdWords for a while. Now it's called Google Ads, but it has changed a lot. So I'm wondering if you could just briefly share a little bit on how the Google Ads landscape has changed and where it's at right now.
Probably the best way to illustrate the point is by way of a little story, right? So if you go back about 7, 8, 9 years in Google, the way that they displayed the results, I mean, ads was a big part of Google back then, but obviously people finding the information thereafter, right? The way they displayed the results on the page was based on rules. So if you searched for the word giants, if you're in San Francisco, you're probably looking for the San Francisco Giants. If you're in New York, you're probably looking for the football team. And anywhere else in the world, you're looking for information on tall people, right? So these rules, they got up to about 4 million of these rules, and they start to conflict and fight with each other. People are using mobile phones more, and they obviously knew that voice was coming years down the road. This is back in 2010, 2011. And so they figured out they had a big problem, not least because 20% of the searches that we all do every day have never been seen before by Google. 20% of the queries that they see each day. And the solution to all of this was machine learning. So Google went deep into machine learning. This company called DeepMind that they bought in 2014 that had zero clients and zero revenue, and they paid about $500 million for that. But that was a steal because they had 110 of the best AI minds on the planet. And so they have baked AI and machine learning into everything that they've been doing over the past few years. And that's the biggest change really to Google Ads, is that it is all now based on Google is a AI first company. You remember 3-4 years ago, they said we're a mobile first company. Well, now they're an AI first company. So machine learning is in everything. You've probably played with Gmail and how it writes the rest of your sentence for you. It's in YouTube, it's in Calendar, it's obviously in Maps telling you which route to take around that traffic accident or whatever it is, but it's absolutely baked into ads. So there's three levels. I sort of teach this framework. Think of it as a pyramid, because the bottom part of the pyramid is easiest for the machine to do. So that's your bidding and budgeting. And then in the middle, you've got targeting. And then at the tippity top of the pyramid, you've got messaging. So bidding, targeting, messaging, and the machines are coming from the bottom up. So they're pretty bloody good at the bidding. The bidding? Oh, I invented a new word this morning. The bidding part, because that's just a big math problem. The targeting bit, they're sort of forcing us all into doing targeting their way. And that sort of sometimes works really well, sometimes horrible. And then the messaging bit, well, machine's not brilliant at writing yet, but we can talk more about that if you want. They're getting there.
And it's interesting how you mentioned bidding as a math game. And for advertisers, I mean, it's if you spend very simply, you know, you spend a dollar, you make $2 back. You just run that ad all day long. And it comes, like, if you want to make more money with your stuff, it comes down to optimizing your funnel, having higher priced products, having higher converting products and other stuff like that. So that's how you would boost the potential for the back end of your ad. But it's no secret that Facebook ads has been, like, a lot of people mentioned that one. And Google ads is one of those resources that may not be in the news as much as Facebook ads, but it's certainly a great play as well. So I'm wondering your thoughts on both of those.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? So I'm old school. I started in this game 2004, or just I'm old, maybe. So yeah, Facebook ads for me, it's relatively new, but yeah, you go to something like Traffic and Conversion, bless Ryan Dyson and that crew, they're awesome. But most of the room is only doing Facebook ads, and it's a massive, massive missed opportunity. And I don't care whether you're lead gen or e-com. Amazon is the third one there that obviously if you're e-com, you need to be thinking about as well. But most businesses, particularly in the States, are missing a massive trick. If you're e-com, you must be using Google Shopping. You know, those little square ads that appear typically across the top or down the right-hand side on Google that show the name of the product, the price, the special, they work phenomenally well. Google knows this. They make money for the advertiser. They work for the user. And of course, they make a ton of money for Google. So they're showing those ads in more and more and more places on YouTube, on this massive thing called the Google Display Network, one of my favorite places to play. It's a network of 2 million plus sites and a million apps as well. Everything from Oprah.com and ESPN all the way down to these tiny little blogs that you and I have never heard of, but Google knows they're there, and Google knows who's visiting those sites and will match your ad to the right people so that you get that return. And yes, you're right. It is a math game. It's all about that return. It is the best direct marketing machine ever created. You get that instant feedback loop, which is a bit of a dopamine hit, I must admit, and it makes it a little bit addictive. But yeah, I agree with you. So many people are only using Facebook. And I was talking to another like OG of our world, Ken McCarthy, used to have this thing called the Systems Seminar way, 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 way back. My co-author, Perry Marshall, got his first speaking gig at a Ken McCarthy seminar, I think 2002. I mean, AdWords was about 3 minutes old at this point. And we were chatting about this. Why is this the case? But I think it's because Facebook is a little bit easier to teach. There's sort of less moving parts, but it's easier to use, right? If you start using Facebook, you get a win fairly quickly. Google is such a mess. There's just, yeah. It's the 747 cockpit, and there's buttons and switches all over the place. And yeah, where the hell do I start? I mean, our training course, and we've created a few of them over the years, but our current sort of like Google Ads Mastery course, about 10, 11 hours long. You can't just dive in and, oh, well, what's the starting point? What's the one thing I need to do? There isn't one thing. You've got to do about 12 things, and you've got to get them all right. Otherwise, it's not going to work. But get it right, it's a beautiful thing. And then you can scale, as you said.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned, like, that is a great analogy because, like, Facebook ads, like, they just seem easier to set up than Google ads. Like, you got a clunky dashboard with Google ads. For me, I've done a lot of Amazon ads because of my books, and those are super easy to set up for anyone who's ever been in that Amazon dashboard. But one of the things I've noticed, I've interviewed a few people now who they do ads, and this is one of those things where you look at someone like someone who's creating ads, and you have one idea of what it's like, but it's actually something else. So one of the things I thought is that you create the ad, it's passive money. But I'm hearing about people like spending hours each day, like looking at their ads, keeping track of them. So I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on that? Are you like looking at it for hours, or are you just like creating the ad and then watching the money come in.
It is definitely not set and forget. You know, it's the opposite of Yellow Pages. But it depends how Joe Polish has this great saying, right? Is the juice worth the squeeze? I butchered that, so I'll say it again. Is the juice worth the squeeze? So is it worth spending all that time? There's diminishing returns, right? So I have a whole team sitting in the other room over there. And that's what we do for clients all day, every day is, yeah, constantly tweaking and improving, adding new elements to that account, new keywords, new ad, new display ads, new videos, new shopping feeds, whatever it might be, constantly tweaking and improving. But get things set up really, really well, it will work fine for a few days, maybe a few weeks, without too much interference, without too much work. It really depends on the nature of the beast. We have some clients that run new promos, new sales every week. So obviously the ads need changing. In some markets, people are constantly searching for new terms. In other more established markets, yeah, the keywords that quote unquote work kind of stay the same over time, month after month. It might not be too seasonal, but it's that last 10% that makes all the difference. Yeah, you can set it up and let it run and be fairly sort of passive with it. But if you're in a market where you're up against a great agency, then good luck. You know, that's probably not going to get you the best return, because if you don't put in the effort for that last 10%, then you're just not going to get the most out of it. I suppose the trick, the art that goes with the science, is knowing of the 107 things that I could do today, what are the 3 or 4 that are most important right now? It's the ability to prioritize and change perspective that makes all the difference.
And I feel like when you do put yourself in that situation or you have an agency, you're able to figure out what those 3 to 4 things are. Because I can ask that right now, but I know that that's going to change or that's going to be different for...
Oh, that's different in every account, right? On each week. There's always more that you can do. But if I went and looked at our, you know, the 100 accounts that we look after, those 3 things would not be the same for probably any 2 of those accounts. So that's the art and the craft part is understanding where that account is up, or that campaign, or that little ad group is at, and what needs to happen in here, and where to spend the time. As much as anything, that's probably a huge thing that you know, somebody new starts. That's really what they're learning, is how to prioritize this precious resource called time.
Yeah, that's the one of life's greatest questions that we're all seeking an answer for. And I think what a lot of newbies also experience, not just in Google Ads, but anything in general, will apply this to Google Ads though, is they want the result right away. And yeah, I feel like a lot of people, they get discouraged when they run an ad and maybe their first one's like $10 per conversion for like an email address. Right. So I'm wondering, like, obviously you don't want to burn all your money, but when do you decide to turn off an ad? When do you just like let it ride because you think it'll be profitable? So
it's a really good question. Really good question. So I used to love option trading. Little known fact about me is the only library book I've ever stolen, sorry mum, I know you don't know, is when I was 17, I stole a book from the Letchworth in Hertfordshire in the UK where I grew up, library, around the Black Scholes method. I loved options trading. I was a geeky freaking kid. Yeah. Clearly, I don't remember being that geeky, but I must be. The Black Scholes, this is like the advanced math of options trading. I don't know if I ever did anything with it, but I love options trading. And the thing with options trading is knowing when to cut your winners, right? Knowing when to double down. It's the same with ads. Guthrie Brooke had a wonderful post, I don't know, sometime last year, where he talked about this, about the expectations of clients. You go down the bank, what are you going to get at the bank in terms of an interest rate in the States right now? 3%, something like that, maybe? Maybe if it's long-term, term deposit, you know, you throw 100 grand down and say, I'm not going to touch it for 6 months. Maybe you're going to get 3%, maybe 1.5%, 2%. And yet, a lot of people expect, with their very first 10 grand on Google, that it's going to magically turn into 100 grand the first month out of the gate. And that's just an unreal expectation because it's 2019. Now, back in 2004, when I started my very first AdWords account, first 3.5 weeks, I sold 100 grand's worth of stuff.
Wow.
And I went, oh, this works. Let's do more of this. And I started digging in, and then I started doing favors for mates and swapping some time for a case of beer here. And, you know, and that eventually led to the agency. But having that expectation that you are going to have to spend some money with the market, just like trading, in order to learn. And in our case, that's getting data so that you can learn what to do next. You don't start an account knowing exactly what to do. It's I saw this wonderful, I don't, this is going to be very hard to do visually, but I'll do a picture for you to put in the show notes. I was at Singularity University a little while ago. I'm telling way too many stories, but anyway, they showed this chart, and it was like that. This chart made it worth all the money of flying there and going to this thing. So imagine a going from the left-hand side, so I'll try and do it your way, going from the left-hand side to the right, a chart that goes up straight away to a peak and then drifts down to a tail. That's typically how we make, or the number of decisions that we make during the lifetime of a project. So we make loads of decisions at the beginning, and then towards the end of the project, hardly any.
Oh, interesting.
Compare that to the knowledge we have of that project over time, which starts really, really tiny, and really tiny, and really tiny, and eventually starts to go up towards the end. So we make all the decisions when we have no knowledge, and we're not making decisions towards the end of the project when we have maximum knowledge. That's kind of insane, right?
Yeah.
And yet, so many people will do the same thing with a business or with an ads account. I'm going to set this all up. I'm going to spend 40 hours doing tons of keyword research, writing all of these ads. I'm going to set the whole thing up and then assume that I'm done. Like you said before, right? Set and forget, walk away. This is going to be passive. Well, no, it's not ever, because you haven't got any data from the market yet. And the more data, the more knowledge that you pay for, and you do have to pay for that because that's what direct marketing is, as the knowledge gains, then you're going to need to make changes. The only way to get that knowledge is to buy that data and then act on it. And then you act on it, and then things change, and then you get more data, and then, oh, this bit's working. Let's do more of that. The entire game is basically more good, less bad. That's the oversimplified version of how to optimize a Google Ads account. More good, less bad. Just do that. Keep going. But you can't get it all right on day one. It's impossible, because entropy and second law of third thermodynamics and all that shit, you know, it's going to change. The masters at this use that data to improve results, and then know the art part, like we said before, knowing when to stop, knowing when to move on to something else, knowing when to go test your bloody offer. You know, there's, you mentioned it. I've talked about funnels and back end before, which is awesome, because too many conversations around Google Ads revolve around the technical shit. Oh, there's this cool new feature, and there's this thing. Most accounts that we've been running for a while are going to, everything pretty much follows an S curve as a rule. There's going to be diminishing returns. Everything's going to top out. So go move on to something else. Go look at your landing page. Go speed up your site. Go to pagespeed.agency and get Dan to speed up your site, because that will have massive effects on your conversion rate, your average order size, and retention, and all sorts of other metrics that you weren't expecting. Or go talk to Justin Christensen at Conversion Rate. Oh, what's his name of his company? Conversion Fanatics, and work on your CRO. He's awesome at that. But the thing you need underneath everything is really, really, really good data. If you don't have good data, if that's not set up properly, you can't make decisions. We're paying to collect this data, but if the data's wrong, garbage in, garbage out. God, I'm going all over the place this morning. Not enough caffeine, clearly.
I mean, there's just so many parts of your answer I want to pounce on. I mean, I'm a finance major, so I am taking a futures options class right now, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Awesome.
The other thing that I wanted to jump on is that if you see a new opportunity, like you're a pioneer, like Google Ads, in 2004, you could make that kind of return. I mean, there are people saying that Amazon wouldn't be successful because people like to go to the mall and shop and have that social experience. So if you see it, like maybe AI and voice is that kind of pioneer opportunity right now. We'll just have to wait and see. And the people who are turning 10 grand into 100 grand with Google ads and doing the kind of things that Mike has been able to do, that's like years and years of like unsuccessful attempts that led to that result. So it definitely takes a lot of time to reach that mastery. One final point before we get into the next question, because I just want to, like, Mike gave like so many different insights there. There's something on Fast Company. I might be slightly butchering this, but for every second slower Amazon loads, it costs them like $2.6 billion, something really ridiculous like that. So with all of those points addressed, because Mike gave us a lot of great insights that I just wanted to expand upon a little more, I'm wondering if you could briefly share with us what was your approach for learning Google ads, because obviously stuff can change, so it wouldn't be good to say like five tips or something like that, but how did you learn it? What was your approach?
The absolute best way is spending your own money. So my very first account was spending my own money to get customers for a business that I'd been handed 50% of. Basically, I came back, hair on fire, talked about Google Ads in my mastermind group, and one of the guys in the mastermind said, look, I don't want you to consult. I want to give you half my business. Do what you do for the business. I went, okay, I got some time. I thought I was semi-retired back then. Little did I know. And that's how it sort of kicked off. But what I discovered fairly early on is I'm a teacher at heart. I when we used to sit down and play Cash Flow Quadrant, which if you haven't played that game, you absolutely must, right? Very Kiyosaki's good. Board game, grown-up Monopoly, I call it. We used to play that every week on a Sunday afternoon, me and a mate and his girlfriend, and he'd always bring in three different people each week. And my job was always to teach. So I learned by doing, but also by teaching, because to teach something, you've got to really know it, right? Simplify, but don't simplify any further, Einstein. And then just doing it and being incredibly lucky to have the trust of my early clients. My first client is still with me, Kaz, if you're listening, which of course you're not, but 12 years she's been with me. And I absolutely love this company. I love helping businesses grow. Like, they're the heroes. Like, we just help. We guide and sometimes mentor, but usually just guide and yeah, do all the geeky stuff on their account because they don't have time to do that. They're running businesses. They're wearing 12 hats. They're running around with their hair on fire, doing all of the stuff that they need to do and looking after their staff problems and warehousing and leasing and all that shit. We exist so that they don't have to, so that they can just, oh yeah, could you hand that off to me? Because I thought I was going to teach this back in 2005, 2006. I would just, listen, there's this new thing and I'm going to teach you how. And for every one person I spoke to, 10 would say, mate, I don't want to learn the shit. Can you just do it for me? Oh, okay. And that's how the agency got born. And then we did it for people. And yes, it was much, much easier, I think, to learn back in those days because it was easier to get a return. 5 cent clicks all day long. How can you not make that work? Starting today, a little bit harder. So yeah, we doubled the team in the last 8, 9, 10 months. And that's, yeah, they walk in day one. Whoa. And we had one guy who thought he knew AdWords because he'd done it somewhere else before, or he'd done it for his own business. And then he got here and went, oh, that's how you do AdWords properly. Right. And it's, you know, it's a good, we've got a great training program in place now, but it's a solid 6 months to, you know, just really understand which way's up and what you're doing day in, day out. You're doing it, but you're not really understanding why you're doing it at the beginning. And so they're being mentored by my senior guys. We put two people on every account, which is an idea that came from a book called Joy, which is wonderful, all about paired programming. It's an awesome, awesome read. But two people on every account so that someone is always there. If someone's on holiday, you don't just have nothing. You always have someone to talk to that understands what you're doing. And that's probably, I know I'm jumping all over the place, sorry, but it's. I think this is a really important point, is that to do Google ads and to do Facebook ads as well properly, the number of different skills that you need don't typically all live in the same brain, right? You need some code and dev work. You need graphics. You need copywriting. You need pivot tables and data analysis. You need customer service if you're doing this as an agency. Like, there's a lot of different things there. It's very unlikely that you're going to find all of that in one person. So what we bring to to the table for clients is all of those different skills all coming to work on that one client account. I could go off on more tangents there, but I won't, because you have some other questions that you probably want to ask me. I'll shut up for a bit.
Mike, I mean, it's really awesome. I mean, one of the big things that I got from your answer is that, you know, the best way to learn is by doing. So, I mean, you can go through a training course, which is great because you build that foundation. But like going back to the investing, because I know you mentioned options, it's a big difference between reading articles and actually putting money down into a stock, or in this case, actually putting money down into Google Ads, because that's like, you're going to learn a lot faster when you got thousands of dollars a month.
It changes your brain, right? If you put some money on the line. Tim Ferriss had a big, big book called The 4-Hour Chef, which is a book about learning disguised as a cookbook. And at the beginning of that book, he talks about his DIS method for learning anything. It's awesome. DI, which doesn't make any sense, SSS. D is deconstruction. So the first thing you do is pull everything apart. What are the individual Lego pieces of this? And so this is how I teach Google Ads now. Here's all the Lego pieces. Let's lay them out on the table. And then the two middle S's are selection and sequence. So of all the Lego pieces, well, there's one over here that we used once on one model. And I don't really need to teach you anything about that piece. But all the ones in the middle here, what's the 80-20 of the Lego pieces? And then which order do we need to learn about them so that it makes sense? So we've got a framework in our brain that is constantly sort of evolving. And the last S is what you're talking about, stakes. Until you actually put some money on the line, a little bit of skin in the game, until you're sort of at the, what Tom Breeze would call the pucker moment, until you reach that point, then your brain is kind of like, yeah, okay, this is kind of interesting. I suppose I should, when you put your ass on the line, then your brain kicks into gear and you start learning at a whole different level. And then if you have to go teach it, maybe to someone else in your team, we do a lot of lunch and learns around the, you know, boardroom table here. Because if you go learn something, but you know you have to teach it to a room full of colleagues, you're going to learn it at a whole different level.
That is a really great point. And that's why, like, there are training courses that, you know, they're high end, or having a coach, which if you're interested in me, markgoodbirdie.com/strategy for anyone who's interested in that. But when you do put money in the game, it definitely creates a lot different mindset, and it can help you develop some of the key habits that are essential for success. So I'm wondering on that note, if you could share with us some of the habits you'd say have been really essential for your success, for your ability to really expand your business.
That's a good question. Education would be the first one. We were chatting about this yesterday. I probably still, and some people are surprised at this because I've been in this game for 15 years, but I would still spend an hour a day on my education, probably two overall if I factor in everything that I'm learning. Currently reading, probably I usually read about 5 books at a time, but I read a lot. I'm one of those people that if you've got a problem, I will go, oh, you need to read this book. That's how I solve all problems, is you need to read this book. But I'll match the book, obviously, to the person. And typically the book I'm reading at the moment is always the most amazing book I've ever read. But education, first and foremost. I'm a big fan of the morning routine stuff that Tim Ferriss has made quite popular. So I do finally meditate. I've been sort of like toying with meditation for a long time. I bought the Muse 2 headband a few months ago. It's been awesome. I'm not being paid to say this, but it is awesome. If you've struggled with meditation, which I have for bloody years, get the Muse headband. That's awesome. Drink more water. Exercise. You know, we all do the whole, oh, I don't have time to exercise. And I have been guilty of that for the past, oh, I don't know, since I had kids, 8 years. But it's that's a stupid thing to say. And I know that I've said it for a lot of those 8 years. Because you do that and it makes time. So it's not habits that you're probably expecting me to say, which is stuff around a Google Ads account. And, oh, well, I look at keywords every day for 53 minutes and then I write ads. It's the bigger stuff. It's the life stuff and hanging out and playing Lego and card games and Play-Doh with my daughters. That's the stuff that I think keeps my brain fresh and active and healthy and keeps making this game fun.
And that's a really great perspective, because there are certainly business habits that help you a lot, but it's also the stuff outside of business that allows you to come back with full energy, because like I know you're really passionate about this stuff, obviously, but I don't know, based on your schedule, if you could spend like 18 hours straight in your ads account. So it's good to have those kinds of routines and other stuff.
Yeah, and that's a huge benefit that we have, right, as an agency, that we, again, the value we bring to clients is that we're able to see across this huge range of accounts. Half of our clients are e-com, half are lead gen, half are in Australia, half are in America, and a few dotted around the place. But we get this great perspective across all of these different things. So, yeah, you're never spending 18 hours straight in one account. But I don't know... Each of my guys tends to be quite individualistic in the way they work. But how I used to do it was I would spend maybe a day on ads. So jumping from account to account, but working on ads. Or maybe I've got this cool new feature that's rolled out that I want to roll out across 20 accounts by the end of the day. That's so you get this hit of variety and you get that sort of instant gratification. And then, of course, you get this dopamine hit of going and looking at the results and getting the feedback loop. And understanding, oh, this worked really well here, but it didn't work here. Why? You know, that's probably the best habit, actually, is asking why over and over and over again. It's being intensely curious. That's how I got good at this stuff, was being intensely curious, crawling inside the machine and wanting to understand how the machine works, which is what I've done since I was a kid. I remember taking my nan's food mixer apart on the floor of her lounge room, which had a carpet, not tile, and getting oil all over the carpet. And I remember as later on, snipping the carpet, I gave the carpet a haircut, basically, to try and get rid of the bits of carpet that had oil on. And then I left a cushion on the carpet covering up the hole that I'd cut in this carpet. Thinking no one would ever notice. And bless her, my nan never said anything about that. I never got whacked by my dad for that because my nan never told my dad. But yeah, I screwed up her carpet. But I did put the mixer back together and it started working again, which was good. But I love pulling things apart, learning how they work and putting it back together again. Always done it.
That's a great mindset to have for business, because they're going to certain things that don't work properly and then you just give it a different look. A different change, and it could work even better than what you expected. So certainly a great additional habit there. I like your question about why, because we always need to be curious, and why just that one word can really get down to the root of a lot of different things that we really need to do to achieve any goal that we're after.
And when you've asked it, ask it again.
Yeah.
And then ask it again. Yeah, and dig into that. I'm like, well, why is that? Oh, yeah, it's because of that. Yeah, but why is that? Oh, that's where the insights come from.
Yeah, I like that, the why behind the why. And, I mean, like, this interview has really been amazing. I mean, we've talked about Google Ads. We talked about a little bit of life. We've somehow managed to slip in futures and options during my futures and options class. So that's pretty fun. But, for people who want to learn more about you, I mentioned earlier websavvy.com.au, the Google award-winning agency, over $100 million in ad spend. So, you know, you got $100 million in ad spend, you got a lot of people who are saying, this is profitable, it's making me money. So
they wouldn't stay with us. Yeah, they wouldn't stay with us if it wasn't, right?
So yeah, definitely. So where else can we find you? Because my understanding is you've got a big empire on the web.
So WebSavvy is the done for you. And thank you for getting the .au on the end there, because we are down here in little old Australia. So if you want someone to run, or if you're already running a Google Ads account or a Facebook account and you just like a second pair of eyes, just someone to look over that and go, are we doing the right thing? Whether you're doing it in-house or you've got an agency running it or your niece is running it, like, just, are we doing the right thing? What are we missing? We can help with that. AgencySavvy.com is where I teach. So that started out teaching AdWords 12 years ago. We've got a ton of courses in there, whether you want to learn about analytics, whether you want to learn about Google Shopping, display. We've got the Facebook course. We've even got a mindset course in there. And then a big chunk of that now is teaching agency owners how to grow their agency. So a course that I created a little while ago, the Agency Owner's Blueprint, which is all of those different things that you need. You've got to work on you and your mindset. You need a team, because a team equals leverage. You need to get more clients, and you need systems. So those four pillars help you grow the agency. Or if you just want to reach out and ask a question, probably easiest way is the old socials. So facebook.com/MikeRhodes. Ask me a question. I'll see if I can help.
Mike, thanks so much for sharing those resources and all the great insights with us. I mean, it was such a pleasure to have you on the show and have this conversation about Google Ads.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure to be here.